to Keep Moving Forward, a podcast dedicated to church revitalization, replanting, and the church in general. Each week, we look at issues within the revitalization movement, as well as interview pastors and leaders involved in revitalization. So now, please join us for this week's discussion.
Welcome back to the Keep Moving Forward podcast. Hey, at least it isn't like last week when I messed it up. This is the first of a new recordings that we have. Natalie is not with me. She is actually attending to some women from our church. And, the call of a pastor's wife. Anyway, I wanted to talk today about something that came up in our news, and the reason why I'm bringing this up is because this is kind of an interesting topic, I think, and it goes in line with what several surveys and church, revitalization gurus or church gurus is the correct terminology, but the experts, we'll just say that, the experts. I don't know if this is in line with what they're saying, but I want to just kind of talk about the mass exodus. Now, what I mean by the mass exodus is I live in the state of Massachusetts, and what we are seeing, what came out last week was a survey which showed that last year over 100,000 people left the state of Massachusetts. I think the number was close to 130,000, and it really brings up a lot for revitalization. I think it brings up a lot for pastors, and I think it brings up a lot for even the future of church planting and different things within Massachusetts. Now, let me explain each one in this, because let's be honest, this is going to be something that is going to really, really speak volumes, I think, within the different communities. Now, the first thing is, what is the Massachusetts Exodus? And basically what this is Massachusetts, if you don't know, it's currently, I don't even know if the numbers are still exact, but I know a few years ago it was the second most expensive state to live in, and a lot of people don't understand that. It's second only to California. Now, I don't know if the numbers have changed per se. I don't think that they have. And what's happening is because of the last few decades with the Great Recession, we had COVID, all this stuff, a lot of people who were in their 30s, 40s, 50s, mainly their 40s and 50s, going into the 2010s, have come to realize that they are not going to be able to retire in this state because there is just no money. A lot of the businesses that they would go into are not here. If you want to go into a blue-collar job, a lot of the unions are kind of clamping down, like they don't want to hire older people, because right now, that's the big thing. They have older people that are retiring, meaning they need to bring in younger blood, and that's what they want. They want, 20-somethings that they can train, and so it's kind of a interesting, sticky situation. And what has been going on now is they are seeing this mass exodus. I believe the numbers were 30,000 people had moved to New Hampshire. These were the biggest groups, by the way. 30,000, roughly, moved to New Hampshire and 20,000 to Florida. Two states that are cheaper to live in, two states that I believe Florida is like New Hampshire and doesn't have a state income tax when you buy stuff. So there's a lot of information going on there. And so the question that we have is, what does this mean? Now, it doesn't mean that the people per se weren't ready for retirement, but like a lot of retirement savings was either spent or hit during both the recession and COVID. And what this means is that basically if they had a certain amount saved, it's not there, or they borrowed against their savings and then lost the job that they were supposed to pay back, and so they've never paid back. It's kind of an interesting situation. This is something that some of the experts out there have said. This is partially why we're seeing pastors working into their 70s right now, and I think it's something that we have to take into consideration. So this is what the mass exodus is, and it's hitting churches. A lot of churches here are not seeing as many visitors. A lot of churches have seen people drop out, mainly because they've moved away now. I'm not trying to paint a bad picture for New England. Believe me, there's still churches here that are doing great and having a real impact on their community. But for a number of churches, this is what's going on. And it really brings us to that second point that I said. We have to think through this. Like, what does this mean for the future? One thing I think we have to look at is, will there be indigenous pastors? Now, what I mean by this is part of, like, my tribe's thing, the SBC, is that they want to see indigenous or native New Englanders planting and pastoring churches up here, because we know the culture. A lot of guys come up here, they don't know the culture, they have a period where they have to learn it, you know, that sort of thing. But what we've seen recently is a number of churches closing and a number of pastors, not just guys that came up here to plant churches, but we've also seen natives move away. And the reason why they're moving away is because they've looked out into other states and realized that it's a cheaper way to live because of the different tax statuses. And that's one thing a lot of people don't understand, is that every state has their individual different tax. So somebody might say, well, Massachusetts is great, it's got healthcare, and really, it's like I'm sitting here saying I'm kind of in a bubble where I have to pay everything out of pocket because I don't qualify for MassHealth, because the part-time job I'm working is a job with a town principality, which is supposed to provide everybody with healthcare, but because it's a part-time job, they get out of it. And so it's a vicious loop for me. And it's one of those things that my wife and I have had to seriously sit down for the last few months and wonder, you know, what is it going to be? You know, should we start planning something within the next few years to go elsewhere? Because this is the thing. If your church can't pay you full time and it's struggling, you know, what is there to happen? Now, you know, my church can turn around, any church can turn around, but it's one of those things where I have to also think of my wife, I have to think about my health, just different things. And so these are the things that a lot of pastors are sitting down and looking. In fact, I know of several pastors that mainly they sat down, they looked at their health and their spouse's health, and realized that they had to make the move to get elsewhere where it was cheaper, where they could get into a healthcare system that was going to work, different things. And that's one thing I don't think a lot of people are looking at. A lot of people think that, you know, this place is the answer or that place is the answer, but really they're not sitting down to really look at everything and ask the hard questions and even talk to the pastors within their denominations and networks to find out what the health concerns are and what needs to go. So you know, we talk about pastors needing to have health and vitality and all this stuff to stay in the job. But if you can't have health insurance, how are you going to stay healthy? And that's what I think a major question is that needs to be answered in the due time. The other thing is, again, it's the retirement, it's savings, it's all of that. A lot of people will go and do stuff. When you look at right now the fact that there, I think it was even last week, they said Social Security retirement is going to shut down in 2033. That's a scary thing for a lot of pastors, especially if they haven't been saving, especially if they haven't had a chance to do anything to save. This is what's going on in a lot of areas here in Massachusetts. A lot of pastors may have been working one job, may have gone through multiple jobs, and never really had the chance to build up a retirement. In a lot of churches, you know, we hear this, well, you know, churches have, I think it's 503s or something like that, 403s. And a lot of churches don't understand that, especially when the church isn't paying the pastor, you know, over the table, or, you know, however you want to say that. The pastor's being paid under the table, and the pastor has to then put the money himself into his tax bracket, and it's just creating a lot of messes out there for a lot of guys. So this is something that we need to really sit down and think about when it comes to a lot of these things going on right now within churches and how that's going to go. Another thing to think about is this. If the pastors have kids, those kids may want to go to college. And now Massachusetts does have the John and Abigail Adams scholarships if you're in public school. If your kid's in private school, that becomes a whole different ball of wax. I don't even know if a lot of the colleges today do what they used to. I know some colleges, if you were the child of an alumnus, you used to be able to go for half the price. And when we look at the current situation with loan forgiveness, student debt, all this stuff, this is adding up. And this is going to be another thing that parents are going to want to do. They're going to want to have their kids maybe live at home and go to school where it's affordable. And that's the thing. Here in Massachusetts, there's three Christian colleges I can think of in Massachusetts that are all in the Boston area. So if you're like me in the central part, that's an hour travel to and an hour travel back. That ain't going to happen. So your kid's going to have to live on campus. We don't have as many options as, say, southern states. So that's another thing I've seen pastors looking at and really having a heavy burden on themselves for wanting to provide for their kids' education. So that asks the question, you know, what is the future? What is the future going to be for churches here? What is going to be the option for churches in the future? And I think it's really right now kind of a stand and wait. This mass exodus is happening. Sometimes it stops, and then we see an inpouring of people. But right now, and I hate to get political on this, but right now, until the state legislature in Massachusetts can understand that the taxes here are just overbearing, and even though she's a Democrat and I don't agree with a lot of things with the Massachusetts governor, she knew this. She had a press conference, and she said, you know, this is one thing we got to look at is what the taxes are, and, you know, how do we lower the taxes for the people that need the taxes lowered? And that's a big issue right now. A lot of people are sitting there. A lot of people are struggling under the weight. A lot of the jobs coming into Massachusetts aren't even what we would consider career jobs. A lot of the jobs that are moving in here are retail and grocery, and that isn't gonna project for the long term, especially when you look at a lot of the stuff going on. So it really, I think, for older pastors, because you know, a lot of them, when it came to a bivocational job, they missed out on a lot of these career jobs. A lot of pastors sit there and they struggle. How would I do an electrician's job and have to work till 7 o'clock at night and still be able to run a Bible study? You know, that's what happens. I know one pastor who works a 12-hour a day job and just makes it to his church for a 7 o'clock Bible study and feels exhausted on that Thursday because that's what's going on. So I don't know. I see and I hear a lot of these experts say that bivocational, trivocational, co-vocational is going to be the future of the church. But I don't know. I don't know how that's going to work with a lot of the older pastors. And I think a lot of the younger pastors aren't thinking about that, you know, aren't thinking about how a lot of these shifts will affect older pastors. I don't think there's enough discussion going on within churches about the economy, about the giving. And I mean, one thing that I see a lot of proposals from people who come from Presbytery denominations, not necessarily mainline, but they sit there and they say, you know, one of the issues about a lot of these network and network-like denominations is there's no way for churches to consolidate for a time and season, get healthy, grow that church, where they have to go back and plant a church back in an area that they may have combined from. And that's going to be something that in the long run, you got to wonder how that's going to look. And I think for church planters coming up this area, last area with some points that we're going to talk about. I think for church planters coming up this area, this is where they are going to have to really figure out their 5-year budget plan, if they're going to have enough support, how they're going to grow their church, how they're going to keep their church, and how they're going to really establish something. Will they join with an established church that's close to closing and take that property on? Will they be able to raise the support so that at the end of the 5 years, when a lot of their support has gone, that they'll have a continuous stream while the church is still getting stronger? I don't know. A lot of people I hear are saying that in some ways support is a damaging thing for a lot of church plants. Other times I hear where, you know, a lot of the support helps, but the biggest thing is right now we have been seeing half the churches planted close after 5 years. So there's a lot of things to think about in this area. And I'm not trying to be a downer on this. This is the way my mind thinks. This is where my wheelhouse is. I like to think about these things. I see these things. I hear these things. And it's a concern for me, especially in my own situation. As I said, I have certain things that I don't really give out here. I don't want to give because I don't know who of my church listens at times. And, you know, there are a lot of concerns. In fact, I can say that I know for a fact that people within my church have concerns right now. So this is it. You know, that's what we have to do. We have to think. I'd love to hear your thoughts. Please leave a comment on our webpage. It's still the Practical Church or Practical Revitalization, Practical Revitalization Podcast should be. Keep moving forward and use that as a subtag. Please leave a comment. Please subscribe. And you know what? Hey guys, even though this sounds bad, just keep moving forward because there is going to be a victory somehow, some way. We might not see it, but you know what? We serve a God who knows everything. So, with that, keep moving forward. God bless. Love you guys. We'll talk to you later.